Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Welcome back. Chucky's on 106.7 The Fan and NBC Sports Washington, presented by Crop Metcalf, official heating and cooling company of the Junkies. Looking to be their next five-star HVAC technician or plumber? Visit CropMetcalf.com to join their team. I'm John Paul Flame, joined by Eric Bickle, Johnny Cake Sawville, and Jason Bishop on a Misery Monday. That's driven by Priority Toyota Springfield, where you can have it all, including Priorities for Life, the most comprehensive lifetime vehicle coverage in the business. Shop Priority Toyota Springfield. .com. Phone number is 800-636-1067. We're talking about the Redskins, who sit at 0-2. We threw up a question on our Junks Radio Twitter account about basically what do you do from here? You're 0-2. Are you ready to fire Minuski yet? Fire Gruden? Move to Haskins? Or do you just say you played two tough teams, which is what Gruden was alluding to? Yes, the defense gave up a ton of yards. But let's just tee it up again and see what happens. I think a lot of people are already ready to move on from Minuski. We've been talking about this for at least a year since we drew up the Minubski playbook, which is 11 pieces of Swiss cheese.
I'd be fine with that, but I don't know why you would move on from Jay. I think offensively, they're actually surprised us a little bit. They can't run
because
the ball.
Because he's the head coach.
Okay, fine, but the defense is what's killing him. I mean, the defense is what's killing him.
Of course.
And the that defense was supposed
but
to
by
be.
By the way, the offense hasn't been great.
Hasn't been a juggernaut. It's been better than expected.
They have two garbage touchdowns if you really look at these games.
They still count, though. If you can't throw the old, it's a 60-minute game at me, and then take away their touchdowns late.
They're not blowing me away offensively.
No, but they're capable.
They can't run the ball.
They can't run the ball, but they're capable. They're playing a team next week that's good defensively, and they'll have a hard time rushing again next week. But they're averaging 9.5 points a game.
They're better than good defensively.
Okay. They're at all you got to. If you score 17 to 20, you can win next week. Not saying they will, but certainly possible. And then you play a mediocre Giants team.
I think it's possible.
So people should back off a little bit here. It's two games that we all knew they were going to lose, in my opinion.
I think fire.
By the way, they've lost to worse Giants teams before.
Oh, of course. They can lose all these. Yeah. But now, if they're 0-4 in 2 weeks, then you just wave the white flag and do whatever you want.
Scorched earth policy.
That's when you ratchet it up.
But I think at worst, they'll be 1-3. At worst. And I think they're going to go on a little stretch.
I think they could easily be 0-4. I think they're likely to be 0-3. I think all of us think that's more likely. Can they win? Yes.
I think they'll find a way to be at least 1-3.
I think most of us believe they're going to be
0-3. And that's what we thought before the season even started.
That's more likely than 1-2. So if you're at 0-3.
By the way, if you're 1-3, you're 1-4 because you play the Patriots after that.
Yes. Right.
Yeah, they're going to lose the Patriots game guaranteed.
So you're 1-4. So if you go to 1-3, just chalk up 1-4. And then you get the Dolphins. And if you lose that game, fire the entire country.
That's fine. I think that's fair. Yeah. But I mean, actually, at that point, but months ago, thinking we had a top 10 defense and thinking we would be able to run the ball pretty well, I had them at 2-4. I mean, I think that's what you guys had them at, too.
I understand that.
And nobody thought they would be firing people. I mean, it's the way the schedule laid out.
But you're kind of moving off the bigger picture thing. Yes, that's what you had them at. And yes, this is our expectations.
Most of us. Cakes had them 0-6.
You have them as a losing team. That's not good enough.
That's still in play,
that's
by the way.
Point. It's not good enough to be 7-9. A 7-9 team is
just have to be realistic.
Season.
They need to make changes at the end of the season. Sure. But let's just be realistic. No one thought they were 9-win, 10-win, 11-win team. Nobody.
Understood.
Literally nobody.
No, but you can't accept
it. I think if the Bears do rack up a ton of yards, a ton of points, they might have to make a change.
Then that would be a huge red flag. Because this is a team that can't really move the ball offensively.
Right.
So if they run up and down, they have 400 yards, and we only get two punts and they're in the first quarter, then okay. Mm-hmm. Then I'd say go for it. But we played two really good lines that mauled us.
Look, they got beat by the better teams.
I
get it.
Let's see what happens in the next two
weeks. But there's no way Snyder and Allen, or maybe they do. Maybe they're dumb enough that they do believe this. Come in on a Monday morning and go, we got beat by two better teams. They expect more. They're paying a lot of money to a lot of people. And I think
they're realistic. They thought they were going to lose the
first two games. The frustrations are growing.
The way they did.
And once again, if you looked at this crowd in the stadium, by the way, you could, so many tickets available right before the game. But
yeah, but somebody said they thought there were 71,000, maybe.
Maybe, but
I all
heard,
I know is this. I wasn't
heard
there.
People who were there, people who were there told me 60% Cowboys fans.
It sounded like it because there was a penalty thrown, and I got excited because the crowd was cheering like crazy. And it was a flag on the skins.
Right. Because it was mostly Cowboys fans.
That was crazy.
Yeah. I heard them yell, "Coop," for Amari Cooper.
Of course they did.
Yes.
When he scored a touchdown.
Yes.
Or when he'd make a
catch.
Now,
I didn't really get that. I couldn't tell because the way they've camouflaged the seats. It's impossible to know who's sitting there.
Well, just look at the lower level. Low level, a lot of Cowboys.
It's really
jerseys.
Hard to tell. But then, I can tell by the
and
noise.
By the way,
and there was
you should have seen Steve Sands' text to us. About that
he was all bitter.
He was so bitter.
And there was also
I didn't know what to say about.
There was one.
Oh, he just beat
everything.
He was so bitter at the Skins.
There was one situation too where Keenum couldn't hear. They're on offense.
Right.
Yeah.
Good home field advantage. But again, that's somehow our fault.
Cowboys that, players.
By the way, when we point out that the stadium, for whatever reason, fan base erosion, whatever it is, record on the field, that it's half and half or maybe more than half. Cowboys fans or insert name of opponent here, somehow that's our fault. That's the media's fault, too. So apparently we're responsible for Josh Norman getting beaten deep and misconstruing his words about Dak and for the stadium being only half filled with Redskins fans. I just saw that all
I don't pay
weekend.
Attention to anything that comes out of Josh Norman's mouth.
Nor
now, all
you.
I pay attention to is what he does on the field.
Right. Yeah.
And there's not that much.
And you shouldn't.
Yeah.
All right, let's take some calls here.
All right, let's go to DJ in D.C. DJ, what's up?
What's going on, man? Bear with me for a hot second, fellas, man. I'm sitting here listening to the post game, and I was listening to B. Mitch, Santana, and Trevor Maddish, man. They said that we're so predictable on first down that we run 85 to 87% on first
down. That's not true. Now, they are more predictable with Adrian Peterson, but last week they weren't predictable at all with Darius Geis. A little more predictable with AP, but those numbers are an exaggeration.
Yeah. I went back and looked, DJ. There's no way they were running 85% on first down.
It's not true.
And now, part two of that is, you put any defensive coordinator that has any sand with the talent that you have on the front seven, they're doing better than what we're doing, plain and simple. We don't even do anything but run four at the quarterback. If you look at last night Atlanta's game, Atlanta was blitzing the hell out of Wentz and making him uncomfortable. Mm-hmm. Manusky will not blitz these guys for nothing in God's free world.
I just do
not understand that. And the reason we're bad on defense is because Jay Gruden chose him. He had the opportunity to get Wade here. Wade wanted to be here. And guess what? He was job scared and did not hire Wade Phillips. That is a serious issue right there, and he will not change his philosophy.
That was years ago, but yeah, it would have been better. I'm certain it would have been better.
By the way, this is a tweet from Grant Paulson yesterday, and this is just for yesterday's game, that the Skins ran the ball 7 times on 1st and 10 for a total of 20 yards. They ran on an 8th 1st and 10 and were called for holding.
Mm-hmm.
So yesterday, right, they were very run-heavy on 1st and 10.
They were, but it wasn't 85%. Was it?
7 times on 1st and 10 for a total of 20 yards.
How many first downs did they have in the game?
I think they had 18.
I don't know.
Yeah, so that's not 85%.
Yeah, it's not.
It's
still
probably
not doing good math.
What he's pointing out is when they're running, they've been unsuccessful. I know Grant's very anti-running on first down. They haven't been successful running the ball. It's an exaggeration. Look,
on
those guys
down.
Do the post-game show. I think they do a fantastic job on NBC Sports Washington. I think the larger point is that it's easy for defenses to figure out the Redskins to an extent.
Mm-hmm.
All right, let's go to Mark in Largo. Mark.
Part of that, by the way, and I'll defend them, is they don't have enough playmakers. Terry McLaurin is proving to be a playmaker, but they don't have enough big-time playmakers. They miss Jordan Reed.
They do miss Jordan Reed. I agree with you there. I think, look, here's the bottom line. If people want to get rid of Greg Minuski, go right ahead. But that would be, what, your fourth defensive coordinator in 6 years with Jay Gruden? I mean, at some point, you know, look, the whole situation is, this time last year, I think, my personal opinion, Jay Gruden should have got fired 2 years ago. That's how I feel about this whole situation. But it doesn't make any sense to fire Jay unless you get rid of Bruce. Now, here's my, with you, Eric, I do agree. If this team is 0-4, and then you're staring at 0-5 after the Patriots, I think Bruce is the first person that has to go. And here's the reason why.
Everybody wants him to go.
Everyone wants him to go.
Well, when you get up on your soapbox in August and say that Trent Williams needs to be here, and Trent Williams is not showing up. And that's the biggest reason why the Redskins are having problems running the football. They miss Trent Williams. See, no one wants to talk about that. Do what you got to do to get him in here. I don't care what you got. Go to his house. Get Dan Snyder to do something. I don't care. That's not the problem. The problem is you have a GM who's so secure in his job, who's been the worst GM we've ever had.
I know, it's covered ground. Everybody knows, Mark. I love you, but everybody knows. And he's not going anywhere. He's Dan's guy. He takes the bullets for Dan. He's not going anywhere. He's terrible. You're 100%
right. But the
fact
that he's
not going anywhere.
That they're just so entrenched and that they won't even entertain trading Trent Williams when, I mean, maybe he'll cave and he'll be in here in week 6, 7, or 8, but I mean, what's the record going to be at that point? What's the point of having him around if he doesn't want, if he's said publicly that he doesn't want to be here anymore, that he doesn't want to play for your franchise? Don't you want to flip that while he still has some value and get something back in return? I would think you would want to do that.
It makes
sense. Apparently you don't.
Schefter had a report yesterday that Trent may come back, but it's one of those reports where nobody knows.
People
Trent's
been saying
not
that for
anything.
Weeks now.
They say he could come back this week.
Did he tweet
week?
This yesterday or something?
Yesterday. It's just
based on what?
Oh, I have no idea.
Because they've been saying
on.
The same thing for 3 weeks now.
It was to me, it was a non-report. It's just like one of those things. Like, he could come back as early as this week.
Yeah.
Okay.
And getting back to the running back, I mean, JP's right. They had 19 first downs. So if they ran it on first down 8 times, one of them called back by penalty, that means
it's about 40%.
They passed 9 times.
More than that. 8 you times out of 19.
You said 8. Oh, okay.
So it's 19. Like 11 times they passed. Yeah.
Well, I mean, when you had first downs in the fourth quarter, you're down 3 scores. You got
to
pass.
Right, you're forced
to. They don't hand off every first down.
Now, first half, maybe. Maybe
and you have
85%.
To hand off sometimes on first down. Sorry, guys. You can't just eliminate first down handoffs.
They tried
completely.
To trick it up a little bit with the Steven Sims, the jet sweeps, and things like that. It wasn't that sustainable. Or they just chose not to run that.
No, it was a pre-package that they had planned, and they just didn't go back to any of it.
Right.
I thought they're going to kill Sims. I love Sims, but they're going to kill him if they keep doing that. He's too tiny.
Yeah.
I mean, I like it once in a while, but they went to it like 3 times. I'm like, oh my God, they're going to kill that kid.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Let's go to Rocco. Rocco, what's up, buddy? You're over the Junks.
Hey, what's up, guys? Good to talk to you again. So I just wanted to make a couple points as far as like the last 2 games been exactly the same flow. Basically, like, you know, in the Hangover movies, how the second one was basically a copy and paste. And just having the quarterbacks from our division, the young guys, hold them down pretty well first, you know, quarter. Or so play really well all around and then just not be able to hold anybody for, you know, second and third quarter all the way around and then get junk at the end. It's just the same old, you know, it's been like Twilight Zone for years. And just on a side note, man. I was at the first game. I haven't been to FedEx since like 2014. First game I went to in a long time. And I had to tap out once the Dallas crowd started chanting defense louder than any chant we had going.
Yeah, I mean, it's not a fun experience to go. If you're a Skins fan and you're outnumbered 2-1 or whatever the number is in your home stadium, I don't fault Redskins fans for not wanting to go out and experience that. It's got to be a terrible experience for a Skins fan being surrounded by Dallas fans or Eagles fans, and you just feel outnumbered. It's got to suck.
I'll let Grant Paulson on his show talk about it, but I did see his tweet. He also said he understands now why people complain about going to the stadium, that he didn't move 10 feet for like a half hour in his car on the way out.
Been there, done we've all been there.
Right.
So I know we don't want to go to any more calls, but real quick, Mark in Richmond has a point that I've noticed too, and it was a point of emphasis in training camp, but you haven't seen it executed in the regular season. They can barely get a playoff. Like, it's going down to 1 second every time. They wanted to play with tempo, and it's just not happening.
The veteran quarterback.
Yeah, imagine what it would be like with Haskins in
it. All right, phone number is 800-636-1067. We'll take more of your calls throughout the show. But next, it's our Redskins beat reporter, Craig Hoffman, with the latest from Redskins Park here on The Fan.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first 3 orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hey,
Welcome back. Junkies on 106.7 The Fan in NBC Sports Washington. On a Misery Monday, driven by Priority Toyota Springfield, where you can have it all, including priorities for life, the most comprehensive lifetime vehicle coverage in the business. Shop PriorityToyotaSpringfield.com. Joining us right now on the Maps Warehouse Hotlines, our pal Craig Hoffman, Redskins beat reporter. Check out his work at TheFanDC.com. What's up, Craig?
Morning, boys. How are you?
Hello, I actually got to see Craig on Saturday night on the big screen at Audi Field as I went to the Washington Spirit game.
Oh, very good.
I saw him in his Spirit jersey and everything.
But I saw him there at halftime. I didn't quite make it to the game until like it kickoff.
Yeah, it was a good time, though.
It was packed.
It was packed. The atmosphere was amazing. And they were really bummed at the result. They pulled ahead in the 90th minute and then gave up an equalizer in the 93rd. But it was a good time had by all.
Well, how do they attribute this increased attendance? Is it simply what they did in the World Cup? It's just they were able to capitalize and bounce off of that?
I mean, that's definitely a huge part of it. The organization's done a lot of terrific things over the last 6 months. They have a new owner, a guy named Steve Baldwin, who has done a great job in helping them in every single way. So they have been able to not just get a mini spike, which has happened over the last couple of World Cups, but, I mean, two World Cups ago, the league that existed then for women's soccer folded.
Right.
After that season. So this has been the longest running league. The NWSL has been the longest running women's soccer league in American history. And they captured a mini spike after 2015, but they've done a much better job this time. And these games at Audi Field have been amazing. They sold out last time, and this one was close. It was 17,000 plus.
I mean, it's crazy because I've been to games before in Gaithersburg and like 2,000 people there. Great games. But I was like, to go from 2,000 to 17 to 20 is unbelievable.
But I'll tell you this, get into the city at that time, because the Nationals had a 4:05 start, mm-hmm. and this was a 7:30 start, and the Nationals' bullpen fell apart in that game, and so many people were leaving Nats Park
trying
to park here at Homewood Suites. I had to do, like, this major loop to get there, and then they didn't even want to let me in, but luckily I saw our guy Chris.
Well, we didn't even talk about
it. And I got over there to Homewood. But, I mean, it was so many people, because Friday night actually had a lot of people at the Nats game. I don't know what the attendance was Saturday, but the attendance has bumped up now mm-hmm. as the playoffs.
Well, they were playing
looming.
The Braves too,
right?
But we didn't talk about Culberson getting pegged in the face. That was scary, man.
Awful.
I felt awful for that guy. It also wasn't much fun, I'm sure, in that press conference yesterday with Jay after the game. I watched most of it.
He didn't seem as pissed off as the week before, to be honest with you.
True, true.
It's called being resigned to your fate.
It just seemed like he always...
I think.
Craig, it seems like he always deflects questions, especially on the defense, by just answering, well, I got to look at the tape.
I think that's fair.
Okay, that's fine. But you also know what you have, right? You know what you have on defense. I don't necessarily think you have to look at the tape all the time.
Well, he knows what he doesn't have,
and
too.
He also knows what kind of coaches he has. He's been working with those guys since, July. Do you think that there's going to be a move made on the defensive staff if they have another awful performance defensively on Monday night?
Yes. I don't have that sourced. It's just at some point you got to do something.
Right.
And I think when the head coach's job is on the line, you give him a chance to move other pieces around and prove that it's their fault. At that point it kind of stinks for the guy who winds up being the fall guy. But in Minuski's case, he's lucky to be here anyway. Not that, Greg, I don't mean that as like a shot at Greg personally in any way, but I mean, literally lucky in that Todd Bowles didn't want to come here and Greg Williams didn't, they couldn't figure out whatever they wanted to with him, because they interviewed those guys for his job this offseason and he was in the room for it.
Yeah.
So I still don't really understand what all happened with that, how they, we're definitely going to move on and then decided, never mind. I guess if you can't find a better alternative and the guy's willing to go through that, then sure, keep him. But at this point, it seems like there probably could have been some better alternatives.
Does Jay have
games.
To say to do it at this point? Could Jay say to Bruce, and I want to move on from Greg, we need some new blood?
I think he could, and I'm pretty sure they would listen. It's not like, the offensive line coach, Bill Callahan, who is Bruce's guy. Mm-hmm. I think Greg certainly isn't a protected person in that way.
I'm just wondering
understand.
If Jay has any say at all in the organization anymore.
Yeah, no, he does. He definitely, look, Jay's always had a voice. I think how loud that voice is has fluctuated over his time. I think that there are times when he's had quite a bit of power and he's kind of gotten what he wanted. And there are still situations where he does, but those situations may not be quite as much as they used to be. You know, so he might have used to have way more say over the final roster, and maybe in a different year, AP does get cut, you know, like Jay had wanted. Maybe in a different year, there's a certain change here or there, but or in the draft, maybe they listen to him a little bit more. But Jay still got a lot of the guys that he wanted in the draft, for instance. You know, he still does a lot, or has a lot of input over this roster, and obviously I think over his coaching staff, I would think, is one of the areas where he has more power than not. But certainly there's a lot, I feel like, that's brewing behind the scenes. But getting back, you know, Lurch, to your original question about the press conference,
yeah,
and your premise about that, I was stunned not only at Jay's demeanor in the press conference that almost resigned, like frustrated, exasperated, mm-hmm. but not ticked off. Like often he's no fun after games. He takes losses seriously. And I think this was much more confusion than it was like being pissed off. And the players, I mean, Norman was the same way. I was expecting Josh to go off. And, I mean, he obviously had his rant about the media situation and a quote of his that got taken way out of context last week. But about the game, he was very, you know, hey, we're just looking forward to Chicago. We're moving forward. And that stunned me at the general demeanor of that locker room. I thought it was going to be a lot angrier.
The play where Norman got beat by Devin Smith, was that on Norman, or was Nicholson supposed to be back there?
Nicholson, you know, he's expecting middle help. I don't want to throw Monte under the bus. I'm 90% sure he would be the guy. But I don't know their coverage rules in that situation too, because Monte cuts a crosser. You know, clearly Josh was expecting middle help. Mm-hmm. And, you know, the other thing too is it might have not been, from what Will Blackman was saying on Twitter, obviously he would be one to know, a former corner and safety in the system. He said it might not have been Monte, you know, depending on how they called it, it might have been actually the other corner. You know, if the middle guy mm-hmm. comes down and runs with a guy who's coming across the field, then it's on the backside corner to be help on a post route. So if he, you know, the guy on the opposite side comes towards the middle, you fall underneath it, and it's actually a pretty easy pick because the quarterback never sees you. But I also haven't watched it back enough to know whether that guy was occupied with you know, a route of his own, where the quarterback's eyes were, all those kinds of things. So
who was on the opposite side at corner?
Jimmy. It was either Jimmy or DRC. I don't remember.
Can you find that out for me? Just text me. I'm interested in that.
Yeah, no, for sure. It's a question we're going to ask today. You know, the way Josh's press conference went yesterday, didn't really give a chance to ask him or anybody else. I mean, we asked about the play, but he just said, I'm not throwing anybody under the bus, and was clearly in a very straightforward mood. So he was not going to give that up yesterday. But we'll ask, you know, between Monte or Jimmy or one of the other guys involved in the play, or coaches, we'll find out. But it is a situation where it'd be great if Josh had noticed that he didn't have any help and could have made it up and could have made the other guy right. And I think, you know, that's where you go, all right, hey, if you're getting paid that much money and we're expecting it from you, is it your fault? No, but it would have been awesome in that situation if you could have made it up and somehow figured it out a way. Like, you know,
true, but he can't
he's
run.
Not,
he can't
he's
run
not any, Patrick Peterson. He doesn't
he can't
have 4-2
run any
Fox
faster.
Speed.
I mean, he can't make himself run any
he
faster.
He played it exactly like you coach it. He's on the outside hip. He could have been a little bit higher, so maybe not exactly like you coached it, but he's where he's generally supposed to be, and he got laid out to dry. And by the way, that's what happened to him, you know, last week too against DeSean Jackson.
Joined by Craig Hoffman, our Redskins beat reporter. Let's stick on the defensive side of the ball. In the preseason and training camp, we heard a lot about how good Montez Sweat could be. We expect a lot of things from the Alabama wall. I know Jonathan Allen's not there, and Matt Ioannidis. We expect more of a pass rush through 2 weeks, 2 sacks, just 6 quarterback hits, and teams have converted 18 out of 28 third downs. What's going on with this defensive line?
I wish I had a better answer for you. And Jay, you know, it's funny because often you guys ask me stuff and I wind up being in the exact same position Jay is, where I'm like, I don't know, I got to watch the tape. And the answer probably is they just didn't play very well. And sometimes it's not any more complicated than that.
Right.
Sometimes it's simple, like their guys, the Cowboys guys, kicked the Redskins guys' butts. And they're a really good offensive line. For the second straight week, they got thoroughly beat by a better or one of the best offensive lines in football. But the problem is they're not going to get any easier. Like Chicago's you know, Chicago's offense is a little, obviously not as good, but well, defensively, there are a whole set of challenges that we'll, I'm sure, talk about as the week goes on. But then, like, you got New England coming in here eventually, and, like, their offensive line is always terrific. They're the best coached offensive line in the league. You know, Miami stinks, but you got a bunch of these coming up, and you're going to have to face these two that you already played again. And so if you're that good as a defense, if you are a defense that has top 10 aspirations when a year starts, then you win those matchups, and they haven't. And it's caused a massive amount of problems down the line. And, you know, Jay said yesterday, I'll feel better about our secondary once we get a couple of our guys back. Obviously talking about Dunbar, Moreau, but there's no excuse for the way our front seven's playing right now. And I'm sure Tom Sewell is going to be ticked off about it, and he'll have something to say. But I think the most telling quote overall from Jay yesterday about the defense, and it certainly would apply to the front seven here, is we're not reaching them. Mm-hmm. And that's pretty damning of a coaching staff. You're not reaching your players. Then what's your point? Why do you exist? And they've got to figure out how to do that, or they've got to get new people in who will reach them.
I don't know. I expect them to be 0-2. I expected them to lose these two games. I would have liked to have seen more fight. I'm certainly discouraged by the way our lines are just being mauled. But we're playing a Bears team that scored 9.5 points a game. I think that the Redskins certainly have a much better shot to beat this team, as good as they are defensively. If you score 17-20, which I know is going to be a tough task. They've got Khalil Mack. I get it. But I think they could do that. They could be right in this thing. And then they're going to play the Giants. Now, I know they're going to lose, guaranteed they'll lose by 50, the Patriots, but I can make the argument that I don't think it's crazy to think they could win these next 2 weeks if the offense continues to play well. They're not going to, look, the running game is not working. It is what it is, but, you know, I don't know. They moved the ball a little bit better than I thought they would, to be honest with you.
Yeah, no, I think this receiving core is better than, I mean, it's crazy. I was talking about this with Russell in postgame last night. If you had to go position group by position group, is there anybody who has a higher approval rating right now than the Redskins receivers?
Right.
That's wild. We thought they stunk. Mm-hmm. Like, we thought that, oh my God, they didn't address receiver. Oh, is Terry McLaurin really that good? Trey Quinn's your slot guy? What are you talking about? You know, Paul Richardson's always hurt. Well, there's always a chance that someone could get hurt and that this changes. But right now, this receiving corps has been the highlight of the team by a mile. And so I do think that they have a chance, obviously, against Chicago. When an offense is struggling like the Bears, you always have a chance because one guy blows a coverage on defense, you score 7, and you get another drive where it comes together, and you score 14, and you win the game. Like, you can do that, or, you know, 2 blown coverages. You know, the Redskins proved that could happen in week 1. So you figure it out, and then it's a matter of, you know, they've played turnover free through 2 games. Can you continue to do that? That seems like a
formula
for
success.
That'll be hard. The running game stinks.
The running game stinking is a huge, huge issue. But
I mean, they're putting too much pressure on Keenum because the running game stinks.
The thing that scares the daylights out of me about the Bears game is Khalil Mack lines up over the right tackle a lot, and the right tackle for this football team is not very good right now. Morgan Moses has been bad through 2 games, and that's
what's been interesting. The right side has struggled more than the left side.
Sure.
And Flowers, you know, I don't watch the film, but from watching it at home on my couch, they've seemed to have held up much better.
No, I think that's true. Jay seemed to acknowledge that a little bit after the game. Obviously, line play you always get a better sense for on tape, but Sheriff has not been Brandon Sheriff so far. I mean, when he's right, he is one of the best guards in football, if not the best guard. He should be on his way to being the best guard. He wants to be paid like it. And Moses at right tackle, I don't know, man. His technique's always been sloppy, but it's work. Like, he figures it out. So he's been way more effective than just his technique. And he's now at a point where it seems to be catching up with him. And I think they need to, you know, figure out what's going on with him and really get him right. Otherwise, they're going to struggle this season because you can't have pressure coming off the edge as easily as it has been. And you can't make up for giving up pressure by holding, because that sets you back. And that's what kills them on offense is when they get these penalties. So it has been a rough season so far. But as you said, EB, it's only 2 games. And I
2 games we knew they were going to lose.
Yeah. And so at some point, you got to go, okay, there's 14 left. This is a fairly young team. They should grow and evolve and get better as the season goes. And we know that it's going to be a rough start. But it certainly, I think because they've lost them in ways that we didn't expect, it's a little more unsettling than it otherwise would be.
Craig, the optics at FedEx Field were suboptimal yesterday. Tons of Cowboys fans, and you look at the immediate schedule coming up. The Bears, they have a pretty large national fan base. And the Patriots, I would expect an invading horde from them as well in a few weeks. It's only going to get worse. It's not going to get better in the next few weeks at least.
Yeah, I don't think so. If they lose Monday night, New England's going to be, whew. And, you know, we'll see what they do against the Giants in between. But, yeah, that's going to be bad. And it's, you know, look, I hate to keep going back to old stuff, but, like, Brian LaFemina was brought in, and he and his crew decided that they would rather have empty seats than opposing fans. And Snyder and Allen said, no, we don't like that idea. And, you know, Dan's bank account doesn't really care if it's Cowboys fans or Redskins fans. He certainly cares. I'm not saying that, but they made the determination they would rather have a full stadium of whoever would like to come. And yesterday they
got their wish. Yeah.
Yeah.
All right. We could talk for hours, but they're giving us a break sound. We'll talk later this week. Thank you, Craig. Appreciate it, buddy.
Sounds good, guys. Let me know.
Yep. All right, buddy.
Thanks,
Craig Hoffman, a Redskins beat reporter. Remember, Morgan Moses, Redskins right tackle, joins us at 8:20 every Monday on the Junkies, and Chris Thompson, Redskins running back at 9:00. Keep it here.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Welcome back. Junkies on 106.7 The Fan and NBC Sports Washington on a Misery Monday. Driven by Priority Toyota Springfield, where you can have it all, including priorities for life, the most comprehensive lifetime vehicle coverage in the business. You can shop PriorityToyotaSpringfield.com. 7:45 every morning, give you a chance to win Nats tickets. And right now, 10th caller at 800-636-1067. We'll hook you up with tickets to go see the Nationals take on Philly September 25th at Nats Park. 106.7 The Fan and PenFed Credit Union taking you out to the ballgame all season long. That's courtesy of PenFed Credit Union. You can get more details at thefandc.com/contests. We'll get back into the Redskins coming up at 8 o'clock, but right now we go around the NFL with the Junkies Blitz, brought to you by the Purple Heart Foundation, honoring their sacrifice with our service to help our military veterans. Visit DonatePurpleHeart.org.
Papa.
Kind of going reverse. So Sunday Night Football, you had the Falcons, who lost their opener, take on the Eagles, who, of course, beat up on the Redskins in week one. Falcons desperate for a win. They get it, 24-20. Wasn't pretty for Matt Ryan. Threw three picks. Mm. Came down to a fourth down at the end of the game, and they run a wide receiver screen on fourth and three or fourth and four, whatever it was, to Julio Jones, gets a great block, and Julio Jones takes it to the house. Falcons end up winning that game 24-20.
Doesn't help that Philadelphia had two receivers dinged, both Jeffrey and Deshaun.
Did they knock Wentz out of the game at one point?
Wentz was in the tent at one point.
Yeah, because McCown came in and threw like five or six passes.
He underwent concussion protocol. He returned.
He was sacked three times. They were knocking him around.
Aguilar got banged up, too, in the end zone. He had to go off for a while. He came back. I mean, that Eagles wide receiver corps,
they were banged up yesterday.
Completely banged up.
Julio Jones, five catches, two of them for scores. And Ridley had eight catches for a 105 and a score. Might have to start playing
still
him.
Matt Ryan, five picks in two games. Mm-hmm. Surprising.
Yeah, that'd been good. But they got the win, like you said.
Chiefs beat up on the Raiders 28-10. Patrick Mahomes, four touchdown passes. He's at it again. I don't know if he's going to finish with...
He had four in a quarter, by the way.
I don't know if he's going to finish with 45 or 50, but...
I mean, the Raiders got out to a lead, and then the Chiefs said, well, this isn't happening. And Mahomes goes for 443.
He got one to Hardman, too.
And DeMarcus Robinson stepped in and had just a massive game. He went for close to 200 yards receiving. He had 172 on the day.
Now, Jacobs had a big game running, though, huh? He had one big run, 151-yard run.
What do you have, 99 yards?
99 yards on 12 carries.
Yeah.
Rams beat the Saints 27-9. Saints got hoard by the referees once again. Should have had a defensive score in the game. Referees botched that.
Should have been leading in that game, but over four quarters with Brees out,
the big storyline, is that Drew Brees hurts his hand. I guess he has a thumb injury.
They're saying it looks like it's going to be significant. They feel like there's some ligament damage in there. There's going to be some significant
He's seeing a hand specialist in L.A.
Well, I mean, he couldn't even grip a ball.
Yeah,
so say hello to Teddy or to Taysom. And Teddy was bad yesterday.
He wasn't great. Well, there's a reason.
This is going to hurt guys like Kamara.
Teddy Bridgewater is a – here's what he is.
He's a backup.
He's a career backup.
I know.
That's just what he is.
I know.
He's a guy you want to turn to in case Drew Brees breaks his thumb and you hope he can eke out a win for you.
Man,
he just couldn't yesterday.
Brees just looked uncomfortable standing on the sideline. He just looked pissed.
Yeah.
So Rams off to a 2-0 start. The Redskins' next opponent is the Bears. They win the late afternoon affair with the Broncos 16-14.
They got
under,
so
such
lucky.
An under.
They got so lucky.
Last second victory.
By the way, how
Flacco
about the,
leads.
How about the Stones with Vic Fangio going for two at home?
It was Butts Eisenkofer earlier, and then there was a penalty.
I think that's the play because Jacksonville tried to do the same thing when we talk about Jacksonville later on. But Flacco gets the late touchdown pass, the conversion. They're up. Not much time for the Bears to move down the field. But Mitch Trubisky hits Allen Robinson on a 25-yard pass. It looks like the clock is done, but they leave 1 second
That's
there.
That's a joke.
And the kicker, Eddie Pinero, hits the 53-yard
There's
field
no goal. Way they call timeout in time. It's just they
What
just
if he's
him.
Calling timeout right after he throws it? He throws
he
it,
is, but you got to wait until he's at least
wait.
Down.
Yeah,
okay,
wait.
But he was down with 1 second.
I just
he
don't believe
down
it.
With the
well,
second.
They hooked him. They also hooked him. Well, I mean, I'm sure it was – I didn't see the replay of it, but there was a pass interference call, right, that totally hooked him, gave him 15 yards on that drive.
Was that the Chubb play?
Can't remember.
Yeah, there was some shenanigans in that game.
They,
no
they
doubt.
Just got hooked.
But I agree with you. There's no way they called timeout. That should have expired.
Yeah,
Denver should have had the win.
That game should have been over.
And Bears should be 0-2. And our under 9.5 would look really good.
Broncos off to an 0-2 start, and they have Green Bay next. Not looking good for Vic Fangio. Speaking of Green Bay, they beat the Vikings 21-16. Aaron Rodgers, a couple touchdowns early in the game. The Vikings are getting unbelievable production from Dalvin Cook, who had 20 carries for 154 yards and a touchdown.
He's a mega stud when he's healthy.
But Kirk Cousins was downright awful. I've never seen a QBR this low. His QBR, and I know a lot of people prefer quarterback ratings, that's the old school, but QBR is up to 100. He had a QBR of 4.
Ooh. Well, he was terrible.
His quarterback rating was 52.
He had 3 turnovers. He had 1 in the red zone when they're down 5. He just threw an awful pass. He had another fumble. He's doing exactly what he did here. Actually, he's doing less because he's not putting up the production, but he's turning the ball over at the worst times. And I guarantee you, they are killing him in Minnesota.
Oh, they're crushing him.
Because that was a winnable game. Because the Packers got up to a big lead early, but then they did nothing in the second half. They should have won that game.
And they had a big running game from Cook. Big day.
The Colts beat the Titans 19-17. In that game, they did get the win. However, Adam Vinatieri missed 2 more extra points.
He shanked them.
He's now missed an extra point in 3 straight regular season games.
Well, it might not be 4 straight because it sounds like he's calling a presser today and he might just be hanging
He's
him
also
up.
Missed an extra point in 4 of the past 5 games, which includes the playoffs, and he's missed a total of 7 kicks in the past 3 games. He left the locker room without speaking to the media, but he said, "You'll hear from me tomorrow," which is today. So
and they're
we'll
not
see.
Supposed to talk to the players tomorrow. And one
right,
guy
today's
actually,
day off.
Yeah, and he said, "No, you're going to hear from me anyway."
Yeah, right. Something.
Well, he's 46.
They're weird. Do you watch the kicks?
Yeah, he shanks them like cakes with a gap wedge.
They're not like straight up shanks.
Hey,
like,
I can hit my gap wedge.
I would say like the first 5 yards, they're going straight, and then they just take a big shot.
Disclaimer,
to the
well, no, I don't a, have a gap
the
wedge.
The one yesterday was a pull hook. He had one pull hook.
Yeah. Now that I
think he had 2 of them.
Yeah, he was just awful. And it's time to go. It's time to call it quits.
Lions-Chargers game. A lot of people thought this would be like a high-scoring affair game.
Yeah, it was not.
Speaking of kickers.
13-10, Lions end up beating the Chargers there. Eckler finds end zone again. He's been an unbelievable fantasy football
player.
Super
stud, that dude.
But the
Chargers, he catches balls, too.
The Chargers kicker missed a couple, right? And then, of course, Phillip Rivers threw an awful pick at the end of the game in the end zone. But that's another team. There's a lot of kicking issues.
Hey, through 2 weeks, the Lions are unbeaten. Now they have a gross tie on the ledger against the Cardinals in week 1, but haven't lost a game yet.
And through 2 weeks, the Chargers are having injury problems like the Redskins have had the last 2 years. They entered that game with 4 starters already out. Derwin James, foot.
James
Hunter
is
Henry,
huge.
His knee. Russell Okung. Melvin Gordon, who's holding out. They lost another key player and a defensive play caller, Adrian Phillips. Had a forearm injury, so they are snake bitten this year so far.
No, it doesn't help when your kicker misses two field goals.
Russell Okung is a guy that wanted, according to Wikipedia, wanted to be paid in Bitcoin, correct?
Yes, correct. He's denied.
Funniest thing I've ever heard. This is the funniest thing I've ever heard.
You wonder why half these guys
are busto.
Yeah. The Seahawks beat the Steelers 28-26. First time that the Seahawks are 2-0 since their 2013 Super Bowl season.
Drabby's so happy.
The Drab Hawks looked good yesterday.
Well, we're getting hooked a little bit because Big Ben went out.
Yep.
And they play the Saints next week. Breeze is going to be out.
Mm-hmm. Oh, that is big.
Getting a little bit psyched.
Is that in Seattle?
In Seattle, yeah.
Oh, that's a win. That's a dub. Chalk that up. I'm chalking it up for you already, Drab.
Big Ben gets
Wilson was awesome yesterday.
Yes. Yeah, he's very good.
83% passing.
Yep.
Great.
Big Ben goes down, but they also lost four other guys. The Steelers off to an 0-2 start. They're in trouble. Texans beat the Jags 13-12. Terrible game. I mean, Deshaun Watson had a touchdown late in the game, which put them up 13-12. Then Gardner Minshew led Jacksonville down the field. They score what looks like it's going to be the game-tying touchdown, but they decide to go for two, hand the ball to Fournette. He gets stopped just short of the goal line.
And Doug Marrone and Jalen Ramsey got into it on the bench.
Oh, they did.
Oh, yeah.
They were yapping bitter at each other.
I tried to watch one of the press conferences. I don't know exactly what it was about. But, they had to be separated.
Oh, not good.
Head coach and your best defensive player.
Well, that's separated. What happens when you stumble out of the gate 0-2, and you're a foot away from winning a road game, and you don't.
Lamar Jackson set a new standard for dual threat quarterbacks, produced the most rushing yards, 120 for a player who threw for more than 250 yards in the same game. He leads the Ravens to a 23-17 win over the Arizona Cardinals.
Wow, is he the most improved player in the NFL? He's got to win that award.
I would think so. Through two weeks, at least.
Yeah.
And next week,
he was unbelievable.
The Ravens head to the Chiefs. That is going to be a must watch.
Good.
Lamar versus Mahomes.
Good. We'll see where they really stand.
Yep, Lurch your Niners beat the Bengals 41-17. Jimmy G, three touchdown passes in the game. They've had running back injury issues. Matt Breida, though, filled in 121 yards rushing.
Look at Mostert, too. They got really good. They got Wilson. They got really good depth at running back.
Yep.
They got two major injuries, but the three guys they have running
they don't have great depth at wide receiver, but they definitely have a stable of RBs they can lean on there.
Wide receivers are sneaky good with Kyle's play calling.
Mm-hmm.
They got one of the best tight ends. Goodwin's legit. Debo is legit.
Yep.
I mean, they've got sneaky good players. They really do.
Patriots shut out the Dolphins 43-0. Not much to say there other than Antonio Brown did play, got in the end zone. And the Bills off to a 2-0 start, beat the Giants 28-14. Saquon Barkley continues to put up great numbers, but it's just not enough.
You know what? Another guy that puts up really good numbers, Josh Allen. Now, he's going to throw some picks. He's going to throw you out of some games. He's developing in Buffalo. Look at what he's doing.
I agree.
He adds that running element, too.
He's good for a rushing touchdown pretty much every week.
He's pretty good.
Coming up next on a Misery Monday, we'll get back into the Redskins, who are off to an 0-2 start. What did they need to do to change the script to get a win against the Chicago Bears? 800-636-1067. We'll take your calls next here on The Fan.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.